It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Well, here we are again. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. This is Eric Barger, your host. Glad you joined me today. Well, we've come to part four, the conclusion of the message, The Errors of the Emergent Church. Once again, if you haven't heard the other three, they're all archived on our website at ericbarger.com. That's E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com. And you can listen to the first three installments of this particular message. It was recorded, this version was recorded at the Discerning the Times Conference in Hamilton, Ohio last year. Good conference, and we appreciate those folks an awful lot. At any rate, what we're going to do in this particular program is listen to excerpts from part 1, 2, and 3 of this message to kind of recap and refresh and give a summary of some of the teaching that's happened over the last 3 weeks. And then I'm going to go into a conclusion that will wrap everything up. So let's get right into the message. Here we go. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him, the messenger, be accursed. Then Paul repeats himself, and he says, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Now this is an important passage, and even more so in the fact that Paul repeats himself. Because when the scripture repeats itself as this does, this is what Bible scholars lovingly call a verily, verily. That means drop everything because God is putting a Holy Ghost exclamation point on the teaching. Paul repeats himself not because he didn't think the Galatians heard him the first time, to add extra emphasis and extra weight to this teaching. We're to test everything that comes along that claims to be a message from God by the Word of God to see if it lines up. And no matter how sincere somebody might be, no matter how accepted they might be, even in the Christian world, if what they say doesn't line up with the Word of God, but leads people into heresy, we're to reject it. And we're to expose it. Now, a lot of the church doesn't see it like this today. A lot of the church is not using the Word of God to test what they accept. That's why we're in the shape we're in, I believe. But you and I need to understand that the Scripture is clear and adamant to us about how we're to approach teaching that comes along that claims to be a message from God. Now, Jude is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's that beautiful little book that's only one chapter long, just a few verses. Jude verses 3 and 4 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great mysteries, I believe, in the New Testament is what Jude was going to write to us, but didn't. He starts to say something to us to encourage us about the common salvation that we share in a common bond with one another and with the Lord. But instead of that, he was so grieved by the false teaching that had risen up in his day and by the false teachers that had become so pervasive that he turned the entire tenor of his letter to expose false teaching. So what is this thing called the emergent church? Well, whether it's called emerging and emergent, and they make a delineation between the two, and I'll explain that toward the end of the presentation, but whether it's emerging or emergent, this movement takes its name from the idea that the culture has changed and a new church must emerge in response to the culture because somehow the culture that is out there today would never accept the faith that has held us together for 2,000 years. They wouldn't quite say it like that, but that's what it comes down to. We're being told that we're losing numbers, especially among the 20-something and 30-something people. They're not staying in church or coming back to church because they're tired of that old religion that says that there's a place called hell, and unless you come to Jesus, that you'll lose your soul and go there
there forever because, we've got to change things and tone things down. That's what the emergent church is telling us today, especially if we want the church to continue, because the church can't continue, they contend, if we continue preaching what's been preached all these centuries. The emergent church leaders are seeking a disillusionment of cold, hard fact in favor of a more warm and fuzzy subjectivity, and supposedly it's all to reach the people in the so-called postmodern generation. Emergent leaders believe that evangelicalism, and in particular fundamentalism, has failed them and have instead chosen the mystic ideas more closely aligned to the New Age movement than to biblical Christianity. And by the way, am I a fundamentalist? Absolutely. Do you know what that means? That means I believe in the virgin birth, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace, the inerrancy of the Word of God, and the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Those are the five fundamentals of the faith. Amen. So if that makes me a narrow-minded, bigoted fundamentalist, so be it. Put the tag on me. I'll wear it on my back. McLaren then, and I heard him say this with my own ears, he said that Jesus' use of the term kingdom of God, or that phrase, was a political phrase and not a spiritual phrase. And if Jesus were alive today, he'd be calling us to form an ecosystem for God, a global peace network, God's global love economy. And it was all about us bringing it to pass to save this beloved planet. Now, this is where they're going with Christianity, you understand. Then he said the word salvation means us saving the planet. It's all about what we do. Brian McLaren then told the crowd there at Northwest Nazarene that the world, the phrase the world in the Bible, is all about the earth and not the lost. And when Jesus talked about those in the world, when the scriptures, when the apostles talked about those in the world, he's talking about the lost humanity. So if you take Brian McLaren's definition of this term or phrase, the world, then John 3:16, the capstone scripture in the entire Bible, could read, "For God so loved planet Earth that he sent the emergent church to save it." Think about that. This is all about earth worship, folks. I hope none of you in this room are too enamored with this planet. As wonderful as it might be on a beautiful summer day, or as gorgeous as it is in my neck of the woods out there with Mount Rainier, or any other beautiful place that we see here on the planet, as gorgeous as all that might be, the truth is, according to God's word, it's all going to burn. And that's not a negative. That's just truth. When God said it's going to burn, he meant it's going to burn, and he meant it when he said he's going to replace it with a new heaven and a new earth. He also meant it when he said those who follow his son will be reigning kings and priests with him. And that's us. But all of that is just pie in the sky religion to the emergent church, because they're here to save the planet. Now, to go even deeper with this, Brian McLaren in his book, A Generous Orthodoxy, on page 65, he says, "For the first time through the Eastern Jesus, I began to have a glimpse of how Jesus could indeed be the savior of not just a few individual humans, but of the whole world." Now, I realize that phrase or that statement right there could be misconstrued. I guess Brian McLaren understood that too, because he puts a footnote in his own book to define what he means with this statement. And here's the footnote. On the next page, on page 66, there's a footnote, and it says, "By the whole world," Brian McLaren says, "I do not necessarily mean every individual in it, but rather I mean the cosmos, creation, the earth, and history." He is talking about saving the planet, and he makes sure you understand that by defining it clearly in his footnote. There is no doubt where these guys are coming from. This is earth worship. It's the same stuff I was in when I was in the New Age movement. This is a New Age, or a, should we say, a Christianization of the New Age, or a New Age Christianization. I'm not sure which way to put that. About missional Christianity, and this is a word that's bandied about quite a bit in the emergent movement. McLaren says, "Missional Christian faith asserts that Jesus did not come to make some people saved and others condemned. Jesus did not come to help some people be right while leaving everyone else to be wrong. Jesus did not come to create another exclusive religion based on beliefs." Oh, yes, he did. And his favorite Pharisees knew it. The Pharisees knew what Jesus was doing. They knew he was tearing up their belief system. They knew that he was coming in and cutting it right down the middle. Yeah, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set captives free, whoever would listen. Whosoever. I hope you're one of the whosoevers. I am. Whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have eternal life. Most certainly. That's what he came to do. He came to set captives free and to build the bridge back to God that was torn down. It is no exaggeration. The emergent church movement is a complete redefinition of biblical Christianity. The emergent church movement is a bold rebellion against the authority of Scripture. And folks, that is the very bottom line to everything I'm going to teach today. The bottom line to the whole thing we're talking about today is, if they would follow the Scripture, this would not have happened. You know, it's right back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 where the serpent said, "Hath God said?" That's what it comes down to. This whole thing, honestly, emergent is only a symptom of the bigger problem, which is they do not believe God's word is God's word. That's the bottom line. The emergent church movement is the new liberalism. It is the new liberalism. As liberalism captured and destroyed the mainline denominations who were once the evangelicals of their day. Remember that. 100 to 150 years ago, we watched the mainline denominations, starting with their seminaries and Bible colleges, then into the leadership of the denominations, then into the pulpits, and finally into the pews. We watched them be destroyed. This is Satan's redo of how he destroyed the Methodists and Presbyterians and Congregationalists and Disciples of Christ and Lutherans and Episcopalians and others. This is going on right before our eyes, but this time we are the target. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns Timothy to be careful to do exactly the opposite of what the emerging church is advocating today, and that's the faithful preaching of the Word of God. Paul says to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." He says to you and me, and to Timothy, he says, "Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season." And then do stuff the church doesn't do today. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and be long-suffering with people, and always use doctrine as you do it, Timothy. That's what Paul's saying here. He says, "For the time will come, prophetically speaking, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." You know what that means? People will want to hear what they want to hear, and they'll hire people to tell them what they want to hear, and they'll get just what they deserve. And that's what's happened. "And they shall turn their ears away from the truth, because they'd rather believe a myth," a fable. That's the Greek word for mythology right there. "They'd rather believe a myth. They have turned unto fables." And then he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And Paul says, "I know my time is coming to an end. I have fought the fight. I have run the race. And there's a crown of righteousness ready for me and anybody else who will follow the truth." That's the reward. This is the day we live in, being discussed in this scripture right here.
Once again, this is Eric Barger. You're listening to Take a Stand Radio. And we've been listening to a recap of what we've done the last 3 weeks. That's parts 1, 2, and 3 of the message, "The Errors of the Emergent Church," recorded at Hamilton, Ohio. So here we go into the conclusion as we wrap up the message.
But this is why, really, the sum of this is why I'm not calling myself an evangelical any longer. Now, I've used that term a lot with you, and I know we relate to what that means. At least I believe the bulk of the people, the audiences I speak to, understand when I use the word evangelical, I mean Bible believer, that I believe the gospel should be evangelized to the world. But I can't use that term about myself if Doug Padgett and Rob Bell and Brian McLaren are evangelicals. I didn't leave them. They left me. So instead of calling myself an evangelical now, if somebody asks me on an airplane what I do, and we get deep enough into the conversation that I can actually tell them what I do, I let them know without having to use a whole paragraph as a qualifier to tell them why I'm a real evangelical and the others aren't. Rather than all that, I just tell them I'm a Bible believer, because that says it all. And you can't mess that one up too bad. Amen. And so I've chosen to go that route instead. How do authentic Christians stop the problem? Do the unthinkable. do what's almost unspeakable in some Christian circles. Start cutting off the money supply to the heretics. Stop supporting the universities and the denominations that refuse to stand for truth. And start putting your money in the right place, wherever that might be. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I just know that I can't, in good conscience, give money to people who are going to preach heresy. My mentor, Dr. Walter Martin, said, if we really want to fix the problem of false gospels in our churches, we need to use the gospel of the checkbook. It stimulates almost instantaneous repentance. He went to heaven 2 years later, but I've never forgotten his wit and his inspiration to my life. So here's my last word, folks. I've been a Christian almost 29 years, and I've never become dissatisfied or disenchanted with the mission of the New Testament. I've never felt like I had to go looking for a new journey to get on, to preach salvation to the lost, to preach healing to the sick, to reach deliverance to the captives, and to watch and pray for the Lord's return is what the New Testament teaches the church that the church is. And I've never thought that I had to add to that or subtract from it in any way. I just believe that my allegiance has got to be first and foremost to God and to His Word, and that I'm going to stand before Him and give an account for what I did, whether good or bad, while I was in this body. And I want to be able to stand there someday and say, I did the right thing with Your Word. I, to my best ability, though I didn't understand all of it, I defended it because I know it's Your Word. It prophetically harmonizes with itself. It's proven. It's trustworthy. It stood the test of time. I stood for Your Word, Lord. I stood for Your Word. I want to be able to say that someday. The emergence promote the false assertion that there's something unique about the postmoderns and the church has to change to accommodate them. This is a completely perverted idea. The emergent church is a trap aimed at the flesh and good intentions of the postmodern generation. And the premise that the Christian message is out of date and must be rediscovered to reach the postmoderns is completely flawed. I'm 2 minutes over. I'm going to take about 3 more minutes and finish. In their quest to reach the postmoderns, emergents have rejected or failed to see that we are in the end of the end times and that these things that are happening around us are all resemblant of the end days. And by changing the core message, the church of the church, they have failed to see that they have sealed the eternal fate of so many who might have heard the word of God otherwise. Think about how many of those 20-something and 30-something kids who are sitting in emergent churches who will now never hear the accurate word of God or who will reject it, but who might have heard and who might have been saved by the hand of God. And I believe God can still get through to anybody who He wills. Amen? He is a sovereign God. So I close with this. Why is the FedEx truck on the screen? Well, let's say the FedEx guy is coming down your block or your street or your road, and it's a nice summer day and you have the windows up in the house and the breeze is blowing, and he gets out of his truck and comes to the back of the truck with his box cutter and he finds the box with your name on it and he peers inside the box and he goes, oh, how old-fashioned. Those folks in that house would never receive that. We can take that out. Oh, I think that's illegal. Why, that's hate speech in there. We've got to take that out. They never received that. Oh, and this one says that there's only one way to God. Well, we wouldn't want people to believe that. We can take that out because, you know, that's controversial. We'll take that out too. And then when he was done pilfering in your box, he takes his tape gun, he tapes your box back up and trots up to your front door. About that point, you wouldn't be calling FedEx to complain. You'd be calling the sheriff. Because he just stole something from you that all he was supposed to do was deliver intact. That's exactly what the emergent church is doing to the gospel. And that is the bottom line. Who do we think we are that we have a right to pilfer God's word? That we have a right to change the gospel. That we have a right to change the message the world is supposed to hear intact. Just because we think they won't accept it. Who are we to know who will accept what and wouldn't accept what? We are bound by one thing. To be true to God's word. Nothing short of it. Nothing more, nothing less. And that is what we'll be accountable for. And that is the sobering bottom line to what I'm talking about today. Because this ends up in one place. If we change the message, it ends up with people going to hell. That's what happens when the church changes the message. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word that lights a way for us. That is a lamp unto our feet. And I pray, Father, that you'll bring these words back to our remembrance at just the right time that we can be effective to help others. I pray, Father, that the church here today will stand fast for your word and that we will lovingly yet soundly refute the false teaching and the false doctrines that so pervade around us. Help us be careful to do the right thing in your sight and help us be careful to be a witness in a lost and dying world. I pray for the emergent leaders, Lord, but I pray more for those who are in their flocks, who are being misled, who are being perverted spiritually. And I ask, oh God, that you set them free one by one, wherever they might be. Help us be effective. Give us divine appointments to meet them, to be able to share the truth with them, wherever we might go, Lord. Help us be prepared to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. This is what I pray today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so, folks, we come to the conclusion of the message, The Errors of the Emergent Church, after 3 weeks and now a fourth week in listening to the message. You know, as I've been listening to this today, and by the way, this is your host, Eric Barger, and this is Take a Stand Radio. But as I've been listening to this today, I realize it sounds crazy, nearly absurd, to so many who may have either lost their way or never actually ever found their way concerning the truth of God's Word. I hope that every one of you have settled on the fact that God's word is true, and we either believe it all or we really don't believe it at all. And this is, like I said in the middle of the message, this ain't no pick and choose. And I really feel like that I need to personally repent of something. Not because I felt like this was too strong, and I realize some people would think this is just crazy strong, but because I don't think I've preached this strong enough. When you consider that the lifeblood of the church is at stake, when you consider where the church is going, when you consider what the next breed of pastor, Christian leader, or Christian leader in his home may look like, what they may believe or not believe, how strong could this be? I believe we need to preach it strong. We need to always be looking at what we believe and testing it and checking it and seeing if we've aligned ourselves with the Word of God or if we've allowed ourselves to go off onto our own path. And therein lies the problem, of course, with this self-styled religion of the emergent church, where people can believe whatever they want to believe, however they want to believe it, whenever they want to believe it. And that is exactly the problem that we see here going on today. Well, if you'd like a DVD copy of this particular message, The Errors of the Emergent Church, it is available to you at our online bookstore. It's safe and secure to order there. You can go to ericbarger.com and order a copy. You could also call us at 214-289-5244, and we'd be happy to take care of an order for you as well. Remember, we have a free information pack that we send out to anyone who requests it, has a CD. In it. It has newsletters and other information about the ministry in it, and I really encourage you to go to our bookstore online, go to our website online and order from our bookstore, as well as request the information pack. Well, this is Eric Barger once again. It's a joy and pleasure for me to come and sit down each week and bring these messages to you. We start a brand new message next week. I encourage you to tune in once again to Take a Stand Radio. In the meantime, take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week in encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.